Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Kaiju Carnage. I am your host, Cal the Kaiju Guy. So, what's up? Good morning, everybody. I hope everyone is having, you know, depending on what you celebrate and all that kind of stuff, I hope you're all having a good holiday season so far. I know that yesterday, at the time of this recording, I went out and did a good deal of, like, Christmas shopping and all of that kind of stuff, trying to hit up, you know, places that's got some good deals and stuff like that. Got me a new Nutcracker. I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the podcast. Maybe I did last year around this time, but I collect Nutcrackers. I'm a big fan of the original story of the Nutcracker, and I have a good deal of them, and I only purchase them around this time of year. I know I could pretty much get them year round just by ordering them online or something like that, but I'm just, you know, I prefer to actually go to a store and look and see what all they've got and all of that kind of stuff. I got me a really cool one earlier this week. It's I guess you would kind of say it's a forest styled Nutcracker. It's like, it's wearing a flannel shirt. It's got a cape with, like, the flannel, like, on the back of the cape, and it's like brown fur going all around the edges of it. And instead of wearing, like, a regular hat or a crown or something like that, it's, like, got the top of a pine cone on there, and its scepter that it's holding is kind of like a branch with, like, a mistletoe kind of up towards the top, and then another little smaller pine cone up towards the top. And so I had never seen one styled like that before. Usually I try to get traditional looking Nutcrackers that actually look like soldiers or kings or something like that, but I saw that guy and I was just like, oh yeah, like I've got to get him. And you know, I came back and showed Emily. I was like, look what I got, you know, and she's like, oh, wow, he's fun, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I said, yep, he's another king. And she's like, what do you mean he's a king? I was like, oh, that's what I'm calling him anyway. I said, look, yeah, so he's got the pine cone up and everything. He's wearing the cape. He's got a scepter and all that stuff. I'm saying he's a king. And I called him King of the Forest. And she's like, how do you know that? And I said, that's just what I'm giving him, his own backstory. And she's like, but do they really need backstories? And I'm like, yes, they do. You know, so, because that's how I am. I have like three kings now, and I get ones that are similar looking to their king, and I say that they are part of their kingdom and all of that kind of stuff. And last year I got my very elusive, I had been looking for years and years and years for a Mouse King. And I was finally able to get a Mouse King Nutcracker. And this year, yesterday, while I was shopping around, I saw a Mouse Drummer Nutcracker. So I got that. So now I have two members of the Mouse Kingdom to go, you know, the Mouse King and a drummer and all that. And, you know, Emily just doesn't understand. You know, she just doesn't understand whenever it comes to collectors, because I pulled it out. I was like, oh, I got this today. And she's like, you already have a mouse. I was like, no, I have a Mouse King. This is a Mouse Drummer. There is a difference, you know? Like, so, yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Nutcrackers and all that. So I got those amongst all of my Christmas shopping, and then got some things for the dogs. Yes, I'm one of those people. I get Christmas gifts and things like that for my dogs. And you know, we've got stockings for them, like little dog prints on them and all of that kind of stuff, and all of that. So, yeah. But all of that aside, I hope you, well, not all of it aside, I hope you guys are enjoying your holiday season so far. you know, preparing for Thanksgiving and then eventually preparing for Christmas in about another month and a half and all of that. And then what other kind of religion or something like that that you follow or whatever doctrine that you belong to or something like that, because a lot of people, and I'm not trying to make a political statement or anything like that, but you know, depending on who I'm talking to depends on if I say Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas. If I know that they're a Christian or something like that, I'll say Merry Christmas because I pretty much know that that's what they're going to celebrate. If I don't really know you all that well, or if I know that you are pagan or, you know, something like that, I will say Happy Holidays because there are, in the months of like November, December, a little bit into January, of worldwide religions, there's like 20 plus worldwide celebrations going on and all of that. And so that's a lot of times why people say Happy Holidays, because they just simply don't know which holiday some people belong to and which ones that they are celebrating and all of that kind of stuff. If you're into traditional Christmas, or if you're celebrating the Yuletide, or if you're, you know, just whatever, whatever else is going on and all that kind of stuff, you know, Hanukkah, you know, whatever. So, if your celebration has already come and gone, I hope it was a good one. And if your celebration is coming up, I hope you have fun. But nonetheless, you know, yeah, I'm preparing, getting into the holiday season and all of that kind of stuff. I'll probably talk more about that on the weekly Kaiju Havoc, because I've got a whole story like dealing with Christmas that I'll share for on Wednesday, and I don't want to take up too much time on this. But let's go on ahead and jump into the episode. Today is an original idea that I'm doing. I say original idea, I mean, like, there's been plenty of channels and other podcasts that have done something like this. But whenever I say original, it just simply means that, like, hey, I feel like just doing an opinionated episode, as opposed to just picking a movie and reviewing the movie or talking about the movie and all of that kind of stuff. And so today I have decided that I am going to share my own personal favorite top five Godzilla villains that we have seen across the franchise and across the eras and all of that. Now, as I stated before in past episodes, this is not just simply a list of who my favorite Godzilla opponents are. This is just strictly villains that I'm going to talk about. And there's a difference between a villain and an opponent. For example, King Kong has been an opponent of Godzilla twice. Neither time was he really a villain or a villainous character. Mothra has battled Godzilla multiple times. Mothra is about as far from villainous as you can get. So Mothra does not count. Anguirus has also battled Godzilla a number of times. He is not a villain. Same thing with Rodan. So kaiju like that are excluded from my list. Now, there may come a time one day in the future where I just do like a top five opponents. I might increase that one to like top 10 opponents, just simply because that opens the door for a much wider gap of kaiju and monsters and things like that. So I'll probably increase that one to top 10. But just for now, I'm going to be doing top five with a few honorable mentions. And as I said, this is going to be kind of stylized as a spotlight, but not quite to the same level of detail. And I will share, like, even though I have shared in the individual episodes in which these monsters first came about, my first introduction to them and all of that kind of stuff, I will share it collectively yet again. So let's jump into it, shall we, for my top five Godzilla villains list. This is my personal favorites and all of that. It's no kind of official ranking. It's just personally which ones I like. And we're going to go backwards. So number five, coming in at number five, my fifth favorite Godzilla villain is Mechagodzilla. Now, whenever it comes to Mechagodzilla, you guys are going to hear about the origin of a lot of these monsters, three of these monsters, actually, that's on my actual list, pretty much come from the same source. And I've talked about this before, and that is the Super Nintendo game Super Godzilla. Now, I'm not going to go into detail about how the game is played or anything, because I've talked about that before. There may come a time where I just do an episode on Super Godzilla. And I'm getting dangerously close to actually looking online and see if I can find some kind of website that will allow you to play the game online, because it's been a very, very long time since I've played it, and I would definitely look forward to playing it again. But as far as Mechagodzilla is concerned, my first introduction to Mechagodzilla was in the video game Super Godzilla for the Super Nintendo, because I believe it's been years since I've played it, but I believe the very first opponent that you fight in the game is Mechagodzilla, and it was styled after the American release anyway was styled after the Heisei era Mechagodzilla, because by the time the game had come over here to the States, the Heisei era Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 2 had already come out, and so the game developers for over here in the States made it resemble the Heisei-era Mechagodzilla so that there wouldn't be a whole lot of confusion, because the Showa-era Mechagodzilla, you know, had not been seen here in the States for a good while, and this new generation of Godzilla fans that this game was aimed at, they didn't want them to get confused about, well, I've just seen Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 2, and he looks like this, so how come in the game he looks like that, kind of thing. But that was my my introduction to Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla, or just really Mechagodzilla in general. And, you know, naturally, I've got love for Mechagodzilla. I've got, you know, my own personal favorites whenever it comes to which era or which style of Mechagodzilla that I like. I'm not going to lie, I really, really, really like the Godzilla vs. Kong Mechagodzilla. I like the Ready Player One design for Mechagodzilla. But as far as more traditional Toho-centered Mechagodzillas, I'm a big fan of Mechagodzilla 3, which is Kiryu. And I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, the first time I saw Mechagodzilla in a film was the Heisei-era Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 2. And then after that was the Millennium series, in which I saw Godzilla against Mechagodzilla, and then its direct sequel, Tokyo SOS. It was a good while until I got to see the original Showa-era Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla, and then its sequel, The Terror of Mechagodzilla. That was just during around that time that, you know, there wasn't, Godzilla was not actively playing on, like, DirecTV or anything like that, and so it was very much a, and streaming was not near. I know a lot of you younger, you know, you younger listeners might, you know, you guys remember a time where, like, all, as far back as you can remember, it was just streaming. Let's watch something. Well, let's get on HBO Max. Nope, it's not on there. Let's check Netflix. Nope, it's not on there. Let's check Hulu. Oh, there it is. It's on Hulu, and then you stream it or whatever. I'm not trying to sound like an old man, but there was a time that if you had DirecTV and the movie or show or whatever that you wanted to watch was not going to come on any of those channels for a good while, your only option to be able to see that was to find it in a store or something like that, or order it from like eBay or something like that to get the film in. And yeah, like, I'm sure a lot of you people that are my age can remember that there's, DirecTV did not actively air Godzilla films just on the regular. So, you know, even after I was grown and we had DirecTV and all of that, or I had access to DirecTV, I still did not get to just see any Godzilla film or anything like that that I wanted. I still had to, you know, wait for it to come on TV, just stumble across it or something like that, order it, or just happen to look up and find it in a store. And after I had gotten like a chunk of my collection for the Godzilla films and all of that, The original Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla film was pretty, it was rare. It was out of print. And if you got on eBay and tried to find a copy of it, you were going to pay pretty high dollar for it. And it was just one of those things. It was starting back then, but very much now, I have the mentality of there's just some things to where it's like, I'm not paying that much money for that. Like, it's not happening. Kid Kong, who has been on my podcast a number of times, he sent me a text message of a picture of something at Walmart. I'm trying to think of what. Oh, it was a rhino alien done by NECA, like a xenomorph from the Alien franchise, because he knows I'm a big Alien fan and I have a number of Alien and Predator figures. And he sent me a picture of a rhino alien. And he told me it's at this Walmart, told me which one it was and all of that kind of stuff. And I told him, oh, I've seen it. I said, but I'm not paying for it because they're asking like $38 for it. And it's not like it's rare. It's not like it's out of print or anything. That's just its going price. Just a regular retail price for a NECA Xenomorph figure. And I'm pretty much to the point of like, I'm not paying for that. I'm just not. Like, it's just your product is not worth that much to me. That's my opinion on it and all of that kind of stuff. Because whenever I first started collecting NECA, I began collecting NECA with the Predator line, and believe it or not, I can remember a time where the brand new Predator lines, whenever they would come out, they were $19.99, $20. And now, fast forward 10, 15 years, probably closer to 15 or something like that. And to see them now, that just a standard NECA figure with nothing special about it, really. It's just a standard figure that is mass produced and it's like $40. I'm like, no, it's not happening. So, yeah, that was pretty much my thing with the original Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. I wasn't paying for it. But that store, Hastings, that I've talked to you about, whenever they were closing down and they were liquidating everything, I happened to go in there, and for a particular week, actually, they got to the point where they're like, they're going to start selling their rental DVDs. They're not just going to, they were close to shutting down and like, hey, we're stopping rentals and all that. If you want the movie, you can buy it and you can get it at a good price. And so I was just sitting there looking through the rentals, seeing what all they had. I got a bunch of cheesy horror films and all that kind of stuff. And I made it over to the G's because it was all in alphabetical order in the sci-fi section. And I found a rental copy of Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, the original. And they were only asking like $3 for it. And so I'm like, yep. Yep, you best believe. So I've got a rental version of Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. But then for Christmas, about 2 or 3 years ago, Kid Kong actually got me the big book, box set of all the Showa era Godzilla films on Blu-ray. That's part of the Criterion Collection. So I do now have an official release for Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. But if I had to pick a favorite, like my favorite design for Mechagodzilla, it would definitely come down between Kiryu and the Godzilla versus Kong, GVK, Mechagodzilla. I know a lot of people do not like the GVK design. Like, and I get it. It's very different from what, Mechagodzilla's that we've seen before. Honestly, it looks different enough from Godzilla to where you just simply remove the dorsal plates from it, and it really doesn't resemble Godzilla all that much. So I can see why a lot of people don't really care for that particular version of Mechagodzilla, but I like it. I own multiple figures of it and all of that kind of stuff. I own multiple figures of Mechagodzilla in general, and I've actually got one being delivered today. It was a double pack that I got, Bandai, that comes in with Godzilla Earth from the anime trilogy and Kiryu from the Millennium series and all of that. So I'm looking forward to getting those. That'll be my first Kiryu Mechagodzilla that I have and all of that. But I have two figures of Mechagodzilla 2 from the Heisei era. I have, cool, hang on. Let's see. I've got a giant Playmates, GVK Mecha Godzilla. I've got the SH Monster Arts GVK. I've got two of the smaller, just the regular one, and then the Battle Ready for GVK. And then I've got a miniature Mecha Godzilla, I believe. I think it came with that pack. I don't know. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I can't remember. So I have at least four figures of the Godzilla vs. Kong Mechagodzilla. And then I have a, I've got Kiryu coming in. So yeah, that's pretty much my Mechagodzilla figures that I have. And I'm always on the hunt for more. Yeah, I would like to get one from the anime trilogy one day, because I think it looks kind of cool. The figure does. But yeah, so that's number five for my... in my top five of Godzilla villains. So now, here's the thing whenever it comes to number three and to number four. They kind of change places a number of times. And it just kind of depends on how I'm feeling and all of that kind of stuff. So we're just for today, we're going to go with number four. This is going to be concrete right now for this recording. So number four, my fourth favorite Godzilla villain, is none other than the man that just had his anniversary, his birthday, and all of that kind of stuff, Gigan. Like, I like Gigan. The very first introduction I had to Gigan was in the Showa-era film Godzilla vs. Megalon. I had no idea who Gigan was. I had not yet seen Godzilla vs. Gigan. I had not yet seen Final Wars, because quite frankly, Final Wars hadn't even been made yet, because I was a kid whenever I saw Godzilla vs. Megalon, and Gigan was not featured in the Super Godzilla video game, so I did not get to see him. But yeah, Gigan, like whenever I was watching Godzilla vs. Megalon for the first time and I saw Gigan, I was like, oh, he's pretty cool. You know, pretty cool looking cyborg and all that kind of stuff. And pretty much comes down immediately, teams up with Megalon and all that stuff. And they beat the snot out of Jet Jaguar until Godzilla shows up. And I do not care what anybody says about Godzilla versus Megalon. Yes, nostalgia really helps me out. It really, really does. But because you guys know that I have a very big soft spot in my heart for Godzilla versus Megalon. But the final fight after Godzilla shows up and teams up with Jet Jaguar to go up against Megalon and Gigan, I actually think it's a very solid fight. Like, the cinematography of it, the slow motion that they do, I love whenever Godzilla and Jet Jaguar are standing back to back and they're surrounded by the Ring of Fire and all of that kind of stuff. The slow motion that's going on and everything, like, I think that that is a very well shot scene, and like, I love it. And so, naturally, Gigan has shown up in just a few films. He's very, very popular, but he's only shown up in a number of films. Obviously, in his first appearance, he was in Godzilla vs. Gigan, in which he teamed up with King Ghidorah, and Godzilla teamed up with Anguirus to try and bring them down. The next time we see him was Godzilla vs. Megalon. So he was thrown in there, and this was during the time, during the Showa era. He very much just looks like his, you know, kind of beer gut kaiju. He's kind of chunky, kind of overweight and all that kind of stuff, but he still, like, overall looks pretty cool. I like in Godzilla vs. Megalon, he's kind of cartoony. He's kind of goofy and all that kind of stuff. Like, whenever he holds Jaguar hostage, you know, he's got his blade up to his neck and everything, and he's like shaking his head back and forth and just a laughing. And then when Godzilla hits him with the atomic breath and he goes to fall over, he does that kind of slow motion fall with his legs sticking out to the side and all that stuff. It cracks me up to this day. But yeah, Gigan, he's great in that movie. And also, Gigan holds the record as the very first kaiju to ever make Godzilla bleed. Like, that's, you know, that's something that's pretty cool. And then the next time that we see Gigan is in Final Wars, where we get a complete and total revamped version of Gigan, which this is my personal favorite incarnation of Gigan that we've seen. Because don't get me wrong, like I said, I like the classic Gigan. I do. I like the Showa era look of him and all of that kind of stuff. But this particular version, when he first shows up, like he's slimmer. I like the new colors that they went with and everything. Like they turned him from this kind of goofy, cartoony looking kaiju to actually a powerhouse of a kaiju. To where like I love the scene whenever he's first waking up. I love the scene where he's walking through the city and he's just randomly destroying buildings like with his eye lasers and all of that kind of stuff. Now, I like the blades that he has, just the regular blades on his arms, after he gets pretty much decapitated by Godzilla, and then he comes back and he has the saw blades, like the double saw blades on his arms. I'm just kind of like, eh, you know, he kind of loses it a little bit for me. But I definitely very, very much like whenever he first wakes up and he's got like the classic scythe-like arms and all of that kind of stuff. He looks pretty awesome. And then, of course, I was looking forward to the anniversary shorts that they did. Did not care for Godzilla versus Gigan Rex, which I've heard some rumblings that this one from Gigan Rex was Godzilla Jr. from the Heisei era. And, like, I just heard a few, some people talk about it, but I've never really actively looked it up to see if it is or if it isn't. And if it is, I think that that's pretty cool, but it's not going to change my opinion on the short itself or the designs that they went with those Gigans and certainly with Gigan Rex. You know, sorry, it's just my opinion. I did not care for that short and I did not care for their redesigns of Gigan and I certainly did not care for Gigan Rex. And then we got the short in which it was, pardon me. It was kind of a rematch, and then it kind of wasn't because it is Final Goji, and he was going up against Gigan yet again, but it was not the Final Wars version of Gigan. It was just simply a redesigned, like updated Showa era Gigan. And I love that short. It is Suitmation at its finest. I really, really, really enjoyed seeing Gigan. They made him dangerous. I liked seeing a little bit of the cartoony, goofy side of him again in certain little scenes and all of that kind of stuff. It was a very well done short, and you know, yeah, I would like to get some Gigan merch now, just because you know, some Showa era Gigan Gurch, Gigan Gurch, some Showa era Gigan merch, because I own only one Gigan related anything other than the films that he's in, and it is a figure from Final Wars, the design of him from that. But I would like to have some Showa era Gigan stuff. I think that would be pretty cool. So, all right, moving on. And number three, and this is the one that swaps places with Gigan at number four, depending on what the day is and depending on what my mood is and all of that kind of stuff. And I know a lot of people are gonna sit there and be like, oh, come on, really? Like, he's at number three or he's in your top five or whatever? Sorry, he is. I do not care. I have no shame. Coming in at number three, Megalon. I love Megalon. I love the design of Megalon. As I said just a little while ago, Godzilla versus Megalon holds a very, very special place in my heart. It's, you know, whenever I did the saga of like my childhood Godzilla films, Godzilla versus Megalon was one of them. I have seen Godzilla versus Megalon. It's probably in my top three or top four most watched Godzilla films, possibly even most watched kaiju films in general. Yeah, I love Megalon because, yes, a lot of people badmouth Godzilla versus Megalon because Godzilla essentially was just shoehorned into the film, and he only has a very, very small amount of screen time. We see him at the beginning, which is pretty much stock footage, and at other points in time, whenever it shows Godzilla, it is stock footage. And, like, you know, but sorry, I just lost my train of thought there for a minute. So like, and I was like, man, I don't want to say anything because like I completely forgot where I was going with it. But you know, a lot of people do not like Godzilla versus Megalon because of the least amount of screen time that Godzilla has. But now, mind you, he does have a very small amount of screen time. But Megalon has enough screen time to where, like, I really still enjoyed watching that movie because I got to see Megalon doing all kinds of stuff whenever I was a kid. And Jet Jaguar had a decent amount of screen time as well. And then whenever Jet Jaguar, you know, grows big and is like fighting with Megalon and all of that kind of stuff, I always remember being a little sad because I'm that guy that I will look at a villain and sometimes I try to find some good in the villain, or not necessarily some good, but something that people can relate to. And yes, Megalon was a straight up villain. He was sent to, like, you know, above ground to just wreck havoc and destruction and all of that kind of stuff. So he is a villain. But whenever Jet Jaguar was under control of the villains and he worked with Jet Jaguar and all that kind of stuff, I always, ever since I was a little kid, I just remember being so sad, even to this day, that whenever Jet Jaguar finally shows back up, like, you see Megalon, like, clap his drill hands together. Like, he's happy to see him. He's happy his friend is back. Jet Jaguar grows large. He's, like, slowly walking towards Megalon. And you can see Megalon just kind of staring at him, like, what are you doing? And when Jet Jaguar attacks him, I don't know, it's one of those things to where it was like, he was so happy to see his little friend, his little buddy. And he got betrayed or something like that. You know, I know that's weird. And a lot of you guys are like, ah, you know, it's just Megalon, or, you know, he's a bad guy. He had it coming and all that. You know, that's just, sometimes I look for things in villains that I can relate to. And, like, I've always felt bad for Megalon that he was so happy to see his little friend, Jet Jaguar, again, and then just get sucker punched by him and turns into this big giant battle and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, this is one of the monsters that I did not get my introduction to in Super Godzilla. I got my, or, you know, any kind of video game or anything. I got my introduction to Megalon from Godzilla versus Megalon. I remember my dad bringing, it's just one of those things. I remember him bringing Godzilla versus Megalon home. I was in the backyard playing. He came home, just came out there to see me. He had something behind his back, and, you know, I'm like, hey, dad's home, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We hadn't seen him in like 2 weeks or something like that. And came and gave him a hug. He's like, I found something for you. And we're like, and, you know, me and my brother's like, ooh, what is it? And all that stuff. And he pulls it out and hands it to me. And I can still remember seeing the cover of it for the first time, like Godzilla versus Megalon. And I was like, I have no idea what this is, but I've got to see it, you know? And so immediately gave him a hug, thank you, Dad, and all that kind of stuff. Immediately ran into the house, ripped off the packaging, shoved the tape in the VCR, and sat there and watched that movie from start to finish. And after I watched it, there was no complaints from me. I wasn't like, well, Godzilla's hardly in it, and this and all that kind of stuff. Like, I genuinely just loved that movie. And, you know, I was so happy to watch it. And to this day, I still love Godzilla versus Megalon. And whenever I would play some video games, like Godzilla games, like some of the fighting games for like PlayStation 2, one of my friends had a Godzilla game on the GameCube, and we would play. Every now and then I would find myself playing with Megalon, like, because I really enjoy Megalon. So yeah, that's number three. And all right, coming in at number two, this shouldn't be big much of a surprise whenever it comes to this one, because I just covered something related to this monster only about a week ago and all of that. And number two is Space Godzilla. I freaking love Space Godzilla. Now, my introduction to Space Godzilla, again, was not the video game. It was a toy. And I believe I talked about this on my Godzilla versus Space Godzilla episode that I did, in which, you know, it was one of those rare times where it was like, I can't remember if it was for a birthday or a Christmas or something, or if I just so happened to have saved up money from doing chores and all that kind of stuff. For you younger listeners, we had a chore list whenever I was a kid, and if you did all of the chores in the right way throughout the week, you know, stuff like take out the trash, do the dishes, and not just do it once, like actually maintain it throughout the week and like sweep and mop the floors and clean up the yard and all of that kind of stuff. And if you did everything, we had a whole list, and as it would be checked off, and your mom had to make sure, would go back and look and make sure it was done right and all of that kind of stuff. And if it was done right, she would check it off saying, congratulations, you got that one done and all of that kind of stuff. We would get a whopping $5 at the end of the week. And, you know, sometimes we would be like, oh, let's go spend that. I know it sounds weird to be like, man, $5 ain't much of nothing, but you got to keep in mind, you know, back then, like in the mid-90s and all of that kind of stuff, $5, you know, you could go to Walmart or go to a toy store or something like that. You could find some kind of toy or something like that that was only like $3.99, $4.99 or something like that. And a lot of times mama wouldn't really factor taxes in, like, you know, like, oh, I've got $5. Well, this toy is $4.99. And she would be like, okay, just give me your $5. And even though after taxes, it would be like, you know, $5.20 or something like that, you know, she would cover like the 20 cents. It wasn't that big of a deal to her. But sometimes, you know, me and my brother would save up our money week after week after week and then go and buy something pretty cool with it. You know, we would get like a game for the PlayStation or something like that, or for a good while we would buy a game for the Super Nintendo or something like that. And so I know I had some money, or we went to town just to be like, hey, we're going to get a toy or something like that. And as I'm kind of, you know, looking around, they had a line of Godzilla toys, and my brother got a Godzilla that was green. I got a Godzilla that was black. We already had those. And we also, and at one point in time, like I had gotten a double pack that was a Godzilla and a Mechagodzilla 2. I still own those. They are on my kaiju shelf. But at some point in time, I went to go get a toy, and I saw Space Godzilla. And I was like, I don't know what that is. Says it's Godzilla, but he's from space. He's a freaking alien. He looks freaking awesome. I'm getting it. And so I got it. I liked the crystal dorsals. You guys know that I'm a big fan of the dorsal plates and dorsal designs for Godzilla. So I liked the crystallized dorsal plates design. The massive crystal shoulders that he has. The crystals at the end of his tail, to where it's like he's kind of like a xenomorph and he could stab people with his tail and all that kind of stuff. The color blue that he was and everything, because blue's my favorite color. Like, everything about that thing was like, this is speaking to me, you know? And so I bought it, and for the longest time, that was the only thing I had to do with Space Godzilla. And, you know, it was years later. Like, for the PlayStation 2, I got one of the Godzilla games, and Space Godzilla was on there, and I was able to play with Space Godzilla and all of that. And it was after I was grown until I finally got to see, you know, you guys know that I was well grown before I got to see a lot of the Heisei-era Godzilla films. And Godzilla vs. Space Godzilla was one of them. I found it in a double pack. It was Godzilla vs. Space Godzilla and Godzilla vs. Destoroyah. And so I got that. And the same day, I got the double pack of Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah and Godzilla vs. Mothra, The Battle for Earth. And I have just a single copy of Godzilla vs. Biollante and Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 2. But I got the movie. I watched it. I really, really enjoy it. Like I talked about, you know, I'm not going to rehash all of that kind of stuff, but just talking about Godzilla vs. Space Godzilla, there's a lot of people that kind of, it flies under their radar a lot. And I wish it got more recognition than what it did. Like, it's a good movie and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I freaking love Space Godzilla. And you guys have heard my arguments before about, like, power scales and all of that kind of stuff. That, in my opinion, it is very, very possible that Space Godzilla is on the same level as Destoroyah. I know when a lot of people talk about, like, the power scales, about who is Godzilla's most powerful opponent, Destoroyah is pretty high up there, because Godzilla had trouble going up against him whenever he was going nuclear and all of that kind of stuff. But there was such a massive power difference between Space Godzilla and the Heisei era Godzilla that, you know, and it took so much outside help and outside interference and them having to destroy crystals to weaken Space Godzilla and all of that kind of stuff that had nothing to do with Godzilla. The humans were pretty much doing that. That if you look at Space Godzilla, how he was before the humans got involved and crystals started getting destroyed, it's very possible that he was on the same level, or at least very, very close to the same level as Destoroyah. And so, you know, it's just my opinion that Space Godzilla is severely underrated, and a lot of people overlook him a lot whenever it comes to top Godzilla villains that Godzilla has gone up against. Okay, and so that does it for number two. And I think all of you already know who number one is going to be, because I've never shied away from talking about who my number one, like, Godzilla kaiju is and all of that kind of stuff. But before I reveal number one, I am going to just simply give some honorable mentions. Three honorable mentions, to be exact. Number three honorable mention will be Biollante. Now, the first time I was introduced to Biollante was in the Super Godzilla video game. You have to go up against Biollante and all of that kind of stuff, and he was such a pain in the neck, or she was such a pain in the neck to fight on that game. I never, never, never liked the Godzilla versus Biollante level and all of that stuff. And I have a number of figures of Godzilla from the Godzilla versus Biollante time. You know, like it says specifically, this is Godzilla versus Biollante and all of that kind of stuff. I've got an SF Monster Arts Godzilla from Biollante and all of that. Haven't done an unboxing, haven't checked him out or anything like that, and I will get to that eventually. But yeah, as far as the movie is concerned, I've always, you know, I can take or leave it. I know that it's a popular movie. A lot of people really, really like that one, and I've always just kind of, you know, I don't hate it, but I don't necessarily like it either. Like, it's just, it's a very mediocre film, in my opinion. But I like Biollante. I think she looks cool. I think she's very dangerous. I think a lot of people put Biollante a little bit higher in the power scales than what she needs to be, because whenever Godzilla went up against her in Godzilla vs. Biollante, that was before he got a power boost that happened in Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah, in which he came back even more powerful because the nuclear weapons were more powerful whenever they recreated the new Godzilla to specifically to fight King Ghidorah. So as far as, like, all of the Heisei-era Godzilla villains, believe it or not, Biollante is pretty much the weakest one, because you had just standard Godzilla going up against her, and then he got a power boost in Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah, and he battled, from that point on, he battled King Ghidorah, then he battled Mothra, he battled Batra, he battled the Heisei Mechagodzilla, Space Godzilla, and then he got another power boost because he was going nuclear whenever he went up against Destoroyah. So, Biollante is essentially the weakest opponent that Godzilla went up against during the Heisei era, but doesn't matter, I still think she looks cool. Big fan of her and all of that kind of stuff, so she's an honorable mention at number three. Number two, we've got Hedorah, the Smog Monster. I really, really enjoy the Godzilla versus Hedorah, or Godzilla versus the Smog Monster. I've talked about before in the whenever I did an episode on the movie. Pretty much the only thing I do not like about the film is the soundtrack. I do not care for the music. I believe it takes, a lot of the music is out of place. It kind of takes you out of the moment sometimes. Like, it's just some very, a lot of times the music sounds like very uplifting, kind of circus-like, in my opinion. And it's like, this is a battle between two monsters. Why are you playing music that sounds like this? You know what I mean? But other than that, I really like the movie. I like Hedorah. I like the message of the movie, that Hedorah represents pollution and that humans are essentially destroying the planet and all of that kind of stuff. I don't want to sound like a tree hugger, but you cannot deny that we are, like, massively over polluting the planet. Like, it's happening. Whether you want to believe in it or not, it is happening. And so I like the message that is sent with Hedorah or the Smog Monster and all that, that she represents pollution and all of that kind of stuff. And naturally, we got to see Hetera again in Final Wars very, very briefly. And then we got to see Hetera yet again for its anniversary short film, in which she went up against Final Goji yet again. That is also a very well done short. I have that short saved to my phone. Like, I downloaded it to where it's in my phone's memory, because it has been removed from YouTube, and Toho will put up a copyright violation on anybody else that puts it on. So I downloaded it. It's in my phone's memory. I can pull that short out and watch it anytime I want to. I tried my best to do it with Godzilla vs. Gigan, but I just could not find... I couldn't find it anywhere to download it. So, unfortunately, it has also been removed. And so, hopefully someone will put it up eventually, or somebody else downloaded it, and we'll have it on some kind of website. And as soon as I can get my paws on it, I will download that rascal to where I can watch it as much as I want, because I love the Gigan short. But yeah, so Hetera is number two. And then number one, a very underrated kaiju, in my opinion, is Orga from Godzilla 2000. I went and saw Godzilla 2000 in theaters. I was under the impression it was, naturally, it was after the 1998 TriStar Godzilla had come out. And I used to be subscribed to a little magazine. I can't remember what it was called, but it was basically just nerdy stuff. And in every magazine, probably about halfway through it, there was a calendar. And it would show, like, little nerdy things that's coming up and all of that kind of stuff. And I saw a picture of the Millennium series Godzilla. And I was like, what the heck is that? And it's like, Godzilla 2000 comes to theaters in the United States and all of that kind of stuff. And I was like, what? So, you know, I ran to my dad and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, Daddy, look at this. There's a Godzilla movie. It's going to be in theaters. You got to take me to see this and all of that kind of stuff, you know? Because I didn't get to go see the 1998 Godzilla in theaters. And so he looked at showtimes and all of that kind of stuff. It was coming up. It was about a week away. So he looked up showtimes, or really he called the theater to be like, hey, when are y'all showing this movie? Because that's what you used to have to do. And they told him, and he took me. I can't remember if he took Rob too, or if it was just me and him. But we went and watched it. And I initially thought it was going to be a sequel to the 1998 Godzilla film, and that they had redesigned it. I thought that this Godzilla was the baby Godzilla that hatches at the end of the movie and all of that kind of stuff. Because, you know, the internet just was not readily available for you to look up anything and everything the way it is now. And so that was just my misconception, that I was like, ooh, this is a sequel to that Godzilla film. They went with a more traditional look for Godzilla and all of that kind of stuff. Like, I'm cool with this and all of that. Then we go to watch it, and, you know, it was the dubbed version of it, and we saw that the words wouldn't match up with their mouths and all that kind of stuff. And I remember being initially disappointed. They're like, aw, this isn't a sequel. It's one of the Japanese Godzilla movies. And so I was bummed about that, but I continued watching it and all of that kind of stuff, and getting to see Orga for the first time, I was like, that is an awesome looking kaiju. I love the look of him, the spaceship. Yeah, you know, I could take or leave. But Orga himself, I was a big fan of Orga, playing the Godzilla video games whenever I was a kid, the fighting games and all of that. I would definitely play with Orga. Sometimes Orga is a very underrated kaiju, in my opinion. Big, big fan. And so now that's it for honorable mentions. And now for number one, we have, big surprise, the one who is many, King Ghidorah. So, again, that should not be a surprise to anybody. I've talked about before that he's not just my favorite Godzilla villain. He is not just my favorite Godzilla opponent. He is my favorite kaiju in the Godzilla franchise. Now, my favorite kaiju of all time is King Kong. So, my second favorite kaiju of all time would be King Ghidorah. So, yeah. Like, I love King Ghidorah. The very first introduction I had was in Super Godzilla, in which you pretty much fight two different versions of King Ghidorah. You fight just the regular King Ghidorah, and whenever you defeat him, his center head, like, pops off and all of that kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, you beat him. And then Mecha King Ghidorah, you have to fight at another stage during the game. And I've always just loved both versions. I thought both versions was really, really cool. And, you know, like I would see toys of King Ghidorah every now and then, but I've always thought that those old, like, 90s King Ghidorah toys looked kind of silly. Like, I never really cared for the design of the faces or, like, how the heads would be. The center head would always be looking, like, straight forward, and the other two heads would kind of be looking off to the side. And I was just like, I don't like that. And so I never got a King Ghidorah toy. I have one now from the 2019 King of the Monsters film whenever it came out. And they were doing a whole bunch of like Godzilla toys and all of that kind of stuff. They had a King Ghidorah and I got one from there. I also have a Rodan from that line. But yeah, that's the only King Ghidorah toy that I have, that I've ever owned. And trust me, on my Amazon, you know, thing, they're on my list. Like, there's a regular King Ghidorah, there's a Mecha King Ghidorah, you know, I'm watching a number of them. And, you know, I'll get to them eventually, I'm sure. But it's one of those things where it's like, I'm running out of room on my shelves, so I'm kind of being picky and choosy as to which ones, like, until I can get me another shelf to start stacking up more kaiju figures and all of that kind of stuff. I'm being very, very picky and choosy with what I actually get and all of that. But yeah, so the game was my introduction to King Ghidorah. The very first movie I ever saw with King Ghidorah in it was Invasion of Astro Monster. No, I lied. No, it was Invasion of Astro Monster. I'm sorry. Got my titles mixed up there for a minute. In which they go off planet and Godzilla and Rodan have to team up to fight King Ghidorah. That was the very first movie I had ever seen with King Ghidorah. And then later on, I actually saw Ghidorah, the three-headed monster. Then after that, I saw Destroy All Monsters. I remember being kind of bummed out that they essentially killed King Ghidorah. And then after that, I saw Godzilla vs. Gigan, which had King Ghidorah in it. And then I saw the Heisei version of King Ghidorah. And playing the video games, I would play with King Ghidorah all the time. Never really played with Mecha King Ghidorah all that much. I like Mecha King Ghidorah, but, you know, yeah. Like, there's nothing beats the original, as far as I'm concerned. Like, whenever it came time to play video games and all of that kind of stuff, I loved the original. And we've gotten some variations of Ghidorah over the years. Now, probably my favorite version of Ghidorah that we've ever seen on screen is Dez Ghidorah, which literally translates to Death Ghidorah, that we got to see in the first Rebirth of Mothra film, in which it's quadrupedal, four legs, very black color, and, you know, black and red and all that kind of stuff. A freaking powerhouse of a kaiju. I'm a big fan of Dez Ghidorah, and I would love to have a figure of Dez Ghidorah one day. And then we got to see, I honestly can't remember which one came out first, either Rebirth of Mothra 3 or Godzilla Final Wars. I believe it was Rebirth of Mothra 3, in which we got to see another Ghidorah. I think his name was Grand King Ghidorah, and I like that version of King Ghidorah, not a whole lot, but, you know, like, it ranks pretty low on all of my versions of King Ghidorah. It ranks pretty low. Now, do not mistake that by saying that I do not like that version of Ghidorah. To say that he ranks low on my list of favorite versions of Ghidorah, that's pretty much the same thing as saying, like, you know, ranking pizza restaurants and all of that kind of stuff. Like, at the end of the day, yeah, I've got, like, my least favorite pizza joint, but pizza's pizza. You know, like, I'm still gonna eat that rascal. But, yeah, and then we got to have Kaiser Ghidorah in Godzilla Final Wars, had more of the, it was a quadrupedal yet again, was more, like, gold and bluish color. And all of that. I'm a big fan of Kaiser Ghidorah as well. And then, of course, we had the perfect version of Ghidorah that we could have ever gotten in 2019 with King of the Monsters. Ghidorah was perfect in that film. I would not have done anything differently with Ghidorah. They could not have nailed him more. And then, kind of, sort of, technically, we have King Ghidorah again in Godzilla vs. Kong because it was the brain of one of the heads, Kevin specifically, that was in Mechagodzilla. So it was kind of King Ghidorah was piloting Mechagodzilla, if that makes any sense. So, yeah, and that's what we've got. So, all right, guys, that is my top five Godzilla villains with a few honorable mentions. So, this was fun. I liked this episode. You know, I didn't take any notes. I just kind of ran with it to see what, you know, how it went and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I look forward. I mean, I liked this, and I'm definitely going to do more episodes like this. Like, I'll do, like, my top five favorite kaiju of all time, or like a top 10 Godzilla opponents, or top 5 kaiju that do not appear in the Godzilla franchise and stuff like that. So yeah, this was fun, and I'll definitely be doing this again. So alright guys, Wednesday on the Weekly Kaiju Havoc, I'm going to be talking about Gamera. Like, and I'll get into that story and all of that kind of stuff, but as soon as I posted the episode this past Wednesday, like as soon as I posted it, I got on Instagram, and I started seeing Gamera stuff everywhere about the new Gamera Netflix series that's coming out and all of that kind of stuff, and I was mad as a hornet to where it's like, dadgummit, like, I wish I could have seen that earlier and I could have talked about it on the episode, but I'm going to talk about it this week, and I'll share as much information as I possibly can about the new Gamera series that's coming to Netflix. And then next week, a week from today, at the time of this recording, I will be talking about the North Korean kaiju film Pulgasari that came out in 1985. Looking forward to that one. And then December 3rd, it is my 2-year anniversary, and I'm going to be talking about Kong Skull Island, because you guys know that I like to do Kong movies or TV series or something like that for my landmark episodes and all of that. And I believe I kind of misspoke on the last Weekly Kaiju Havoc. I said something along the lines that I was close to 11,500 listens, I believe. I have surpassed 11,500. Like, I'm currently at, like, 11,800. So I don't know where that number came from, but yeah, I believe I misspoke. So I'm very, very close to hitting 12,000 total listens. So thank you guys for all the love and support. You guys are the best and all of that kind of stuff. I'll talk about my goals a little bit more this Wednesday on the Weekly Kaiju Havoc. So, all right, guys, that does it for my top 5 Godzilla villains: Mechagodzilla, Gigan, Megalon, Space Godzilla, King Ghidorah at number 1, honorable mentions: Biollante, Smog Monster, or Hedorah, and Orga. Be sure to check me out on all of my social medias. On Facebook, I'm Kaiju Carnage, a Godzilla / King Kong podcast, and I have a Godzilla Ultima fan page. And then on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter, I am Cal the Kaiju Guy. So again, thanks guys for all the love and support. Again, if you have any suggestions for like a Christmas-themed episode to do this year, shoot me a message and maybe I'll look into doing it or something like that. I have an idea of maybe where I want to go with it. So if I don't get any suggestions, I'll just go with my fallback. So, all right, guys. And again, if you have any questions or if you just want to talk or whatever, if you want me to share your name and who like your favorite kaiju is on the podcast or something like that, just shoot me a message and I'll be sure to work something out with you. So again, thanks guys. Y'all are the best. We'll catch y'all for next week's episode, Pulgasari. And then on December 3rd for my 2-year anniversary, Kong Skull Island. So, but before that, you'll catch me on the Weekly Kaiju Havoc where I'm going to talk about Gamera. So, all right, guys. Again, thank you all. You're the best. We'll catch y'all next time. This is Cal the Kaiju Guy, signing out.